Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
June is Pride Month, and it was already set to be a Pride Month like no other in the face of the coronavirus pandemic. But then in New England and across the nation, people took to the streets to protest against racism and police brutality. The protests are exposing both tensions and solidarity in the movements for civil rights for Black and LGBTQ people. For many non-Black LGBTQ people, the moment has led to demands for them to stand up as allies against racial injustice. For those who find themselves at the intersection of two identities, being Black and a member of the LGBTQ community, it has marked the ongoing fight for inclusion and representation in every part of their lives. So we want to spend the rest of the hour exploring the intersection between LGBTQ activism and Black Lives Matter as Pride Month comes to a close. Call us. How have you been reflecting on the relationship between the movements? How do you feel Boston has handled it? Are you an ally wondering how you can support those two communities? Do you have a personal experience of intersectionality that you want to share? We want to hear all of it. Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or you can tweet us at Radio Boston. So two guests are joining us to have this conversation. First, we have Athena Vaughn, president and chair of Trans Resistance Massachusetts, which organized this month's Trans Resistance Vigil in March. Welcome to Radio Boston, Athena.
Happy to be here.
And also with us is Casey Dooley, a local LGBTQ activist and former chair of Boston Pride's Black and Latinx Committee. Welcome to Radio Boston, Casey.
Hello. Thank you very much for letting us have this conversation.
Very happy to have you. Athena, I'll start with you, and I just want to ask you, how have you been reflecting on the intersection of Pride and Black Lives Matter this month?
Reflection-wise, I have been doing my best to create space and have conversations with individuals and allow people to inbox, text, or call just to be able to express what they think, how they feel, what they would like to see, and stuff like that.
And Casey, how about you? How do the two intersect for you? And how do you talk about with other people the reality of being a Black LGBTQ woman?
You know, I think it's so important for us to continue to have these conversations with people, you know, to just keep this in the spotlight. And just in case no one, you know, in case people have forgotten, the LGBTQ movement was started by Marsha P. Johnson, which is a trans woman of color, against police brutality within the community. And if it wasn't for her and many others, we wouldn't be allowed to sit back and question and wait to discuss this. So I just want to bring it back to that.
Pride Month is usually celebrated with parades. This month, it was more about protests, other demonstrations. Obviously, sort of major formal parades, gatherings, festivals had been canceled because of the pandemic. But you were both involved with the Trans Resistance Vigil and March that was held in Franklin Park this month. How did it feel to be standing up and speaking out in that setting instead of something like the annual Boston Pride Parade?
I think that it was for me personally speaking, it was better to do because it was to bring back the remembrance of what Pride really meant and how it first started. Many people don't know, and some do know, that the reason why Pride was started was a resilience and a fight back against the police brutality that was going on against the LGBTQ community, trans women especially, and gender nonconforming individuals in general. And so for when Boston Pride put out their statement and it seemed like they were in solidarity with the men in blue, it just took us back because we see everything that's going on in the world with Black Lives Matter and with Black trans lives. And instead of an entity that was created for our community standing with us, it seemed like it stood with the injustice that was going on in the world. And it was like a slap in the face to our ancestors and to those who fought and marched and went through all of that just to get to where we're at, just for you all to basically hand them dookie on a stick. It was like a slap in the face. It was an injustice to us all over again for an entity that was created for us by us.
So I want to give some context there, Casey, to some of what Athena just said. There was controversy over Boston Pride's stance on Black Lives Matter. This month, the organization released an initial statement addressing anti-racism protests. The final version of which the board put out didn't consult Black and Latinx Pride Committee, which at the time you were the chair. The statement did not include the phrase Black Lives Matter. I know that you've since resigned from your position as the chair of that committee. Where do you stand with Boston Pride right now?
I do not stand with Boston Pride. I stand with the QTPOC community and working together to really form an alliance and a coalition to move forward and be what we want Boston Pride, you know, what Boston Pride wasn't. And just hopefully in the future, the organization will be transparent and democratic. But for right now, I think we need to continue to push forward. And some of the other volunteers that resigned, we've put together Boston Pride for the Community, which we are going to continue to call for the resignation of the board. And if anyone wants...
Oops, I think we lost you for a second there, Casey. Do we have Casey? Okay, I'm sure we will get Casey back, and when we do, we'll invite Casey to tell us the rest of that thought. Athena, in a minute, I want to turn to calls. We do have calls on the line, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You know, at the beginning, I asked the two of you a couple of questions, Athena, and I asked Casey about Casey's experience with the reality of being a Black LGBTQ woman. Let me ask you the same question and how you have thought about that in these last couple of months as the country has turned its attention to Black Lives Matter in a way many have hungered for years.
Can you repeat the last part again? How does it make me feel? I just want to be sure I'm answering correctly.
I just want to give you an opportunity to talk about how you're experiencing the intersectionality of your identity in a moment where the country is coming awake to the Black Lives Matter movement in a way that the movement has fought to get the country to pay attention for a number of years now.
So for me, when I first heard about what happened with Boston Pride, I said to myself, I was reached out to and they asked me if I would do a video for them, sending solidarity basically with them as well as for the Boston flag raising. And I said, I'll do a video for the flag raising, but I will not be standing in solidarity with you all because what you all did was not right. And so I recorded a 4-minute video, and the 4-minute video, you know, talks about everything that we've gone through and as a people being Black and being trans and where we've come from and how far we still have yet to go and how we have people who claim to want to speak up for us, who claim to want to have a voice for us and claim to want to fight for us. But then when the time to do so comes, everyone scatters and hides. So I said, you know, it is time for Black trans excellence to lead for itself. We have leaders and we have powerful speakers and we have smart individuals and beautiful individuals who can actually stand up and speak for ourselves. And so that is how trans resistance was born, because it was time out for allowing everyone to speak for us and then not speaking our full truth. It was time out for everyone to be telling us that they were going to fight and stand for us, and then there's no one standing and fighting for us. And so we decided to come together as a community, and we were going to fight for ourselves and to remind people what Pride was all about. It was not about just a celebration. It was not just about song and dance. It was not just about staying in a park and waving flags, but it was actually a resilience and a resistance against what was going on against us in a community. So it's one of those things where it's hardening, because on one side we're being talked about, but on the other side we're not being talked about, and the people who should be talking about us aren't talking about us, and we're all, again as usual, often overlooked and bypassed when it comes to us. But when they say Black Lives Matter, you understanding that the word Black Lives means Black first. So I'm Black first and then I'm trans second. And so that means I matter with everyone else that matters. But sometimes that's not reciprocated when it comes to talking about what's going on in this world.
Athena, we have Casey back, and I also want to bring a call in here. I'm going to grab a call from Jesse in Cambridge, and then we'll bring Casey back into the conversation as well. Jesse, go ahead.
Hello, Tiziana. You're a wonderful, well-informed, respectful host, and I love your show.
Thanks.
So
thanks,
I would
Jesse.
Like you to know, and also listeners know, that there's an annual event where gender nonconforming people remember those who have been killed. Their names are spoken. Their pictures are shown. We gather. We have food together. Their names are spoken. And sometimes I've been at a smaller one where the actual nature of the murder is briefly described. And I can only say there, many of the killings are horrific, absolutely horrific. I've rarely, if ever, heard about any of them in the news. I don't know what else to say about that, except that Pride for me has been great for what it is, and it isn't what it was. And when I showed up and jumped in the parade 4 years ago and felt like free and really out there in public and felt wonderful, within 36 hours, there was the massacre at the Pulse nightclub in Florida. So Both are part of our experience, and I guess that's all I want to say. I don't want to take up a lot of time.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Jesse, and I'm going to give both Casey and Athena an opportunity to react there. Casey, welcome back.
Thank you.
And I really do want to hear both of your reactions to Jesse's call there. Since we lost you for a little while, Casey, let me give you a chance to go first.
Thank you. I'm really not sure what his question was, what the question was in there.
I think Jesse just really wanted to share some of his experience, remind people of the level of violence that both the trans community and the Black trans community experiences in the United States, and to talk about how important it is to be recognizing the intersectionality of identity here. I didn't know if any of that resonated or if there was anything you wanted to build on from there.
You know, one way that we can support is...
Okay, I think we may have lost Casey again. We may just be having trouble with Casey's line. Athena, let me turn to you.
I think that what they talked about is amazing, and I think that it could be an amazing event. Please find Trans Resistance Mass on Facebook and send us the information. We can try to send some representatives to come out and support. As well as one way that you can support us, as everyone knows, and we've been saying, that Trans Resistance Massachusetts is creating its own pride for us, by us, next year for 2020. And we need all help that we can get, whether it's donations, financial donations, whether it's donating your time or space for us to meet, whatever it may be. We are open to accepting whatever it is that people would like to help. We know that from our vigil in March that we had from this past couple of weeks, it was over 2,500 people is reporting that came. And so we're looking to have that same support as we launch our own Pride next year, to be marching from the police station down in Nubian Square to march back up to Franklin Park to actually have a celebration after. So as we prepare for that, we say something, and my own family used to say something in church growing up, and it's just be brethren and sisterin for one for another. So as we wipe your back and you wipe our foreheads, we're just there for each other. And as I've been saying, it takes a village to raise a community or a child. So we just have to be supportive of one another as we're fighting what's going on in this world currently.
Let's bring Casey back again. Casey, I think we have you on a different line this time.
Yes. Sorry, my computer, I think I need a new one.
That's okay. Casey, part of what Athena was just talking about was plans for next year, how marching will be different, how protests will be different. In reading and preparing for this segment, one of the things that really struck me was the extent to which there seems to be a sense that mainstream Boston Pride, that the LGBTQ movement has been historically a more white movement. Not obviously at the beginning. We know about Marsha P. Johnson, Sylvia Rivera, Miss Major Griffin Gracie, but that there has been a movement into more of a white leadership in the LGBTQ movement. We're having larger conversations about emerging Black leadership across the country here in our own city. How do we think about this moment in terms of transfers of leadership, new approaches, disruption? I'd love to hear you reflect on that.
I mean, now is the time for change. And historically across the country, many of the Pride boards are white, and you know, there's not really much is lacking their diversity. So now is the time to change it. You know, the Center for Black Equity, which is the head of all of the Black Prides, which there's 47 in the country and 10 outside of the country, are doing some amazing work, and they supported and signed on to the Boston Pride Volunteers demand letter to the board asking for change. And I think it really speaks volumes when we hear nothing but silence from World Pride, from Inter Pride, from all these other Pride organizations that need to be standing with us, right beside us. Their silence is deafening. So I think that we need to have these conversations within our communities with all of our small Pride organizations and ask them, how are you supporting the QTPOC community? What are you doing to help? Are you using your voice? Are you funding? How can we be better allies and help?
Let's go back to the phones, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We've got Anne on the line from Somerville. Anne, go ahead.
Hi, Tatiana. Thanks for having me on. So I really appreciate this discussion, and it's very moving to hear people's testimony about the experience. So I'm straight, white, and I would say integrationist by nature, but I'm also interested in progressive political strategy. And I think historically, one of my big frustrations with where things have gone in this country is that, in my view, as someone on the progressive side, people tend to try to push for too much too quickly without looking at the lay of the land politically. So the voting majority in this country is white. You know, more people of color need to come out and vote, but that's been a problem for decades. And it's given
and
us
I'm going to have you finish up the point, just because we're getting really close on time.
So I would just ask the guests to think about how they could be part of moving forward strategically and not get too caught in the weeds with, you know, sort of demanding instant loyalty, you know, and prioritization of their cause. When we're just trying to get Black lives to be protected in this country, start there, because that's been a 400-year struggle.
Thanks, Anne. Let me take it back. Thanks. So we've got only a couple minutes left. I'm sorry I don't have more time for the two of you to react. I would like to invite either Casey or Athena to respond to Anne's call.
Athena.
I she said a lot, so I'm not a political person, but that does not mean the trans resistance is not able to get into politics itself. But me, personally, I'm not a political person. But that doesn't mean things can't change for the future. I believe that in order for voices to be heard, we need voices everywhere in this world. Doesn't matter the field, doesn't matter the place, doesn't matter the time. We just need our voices in those places, at those tables, and seats at those tables so that we can be heard.
Thank you. And Casey, I'll give last word to you in our last minute or so.
I know something that I am very passionate about is getting people registered to vote, because, you know, we can make our voice heard by voting. And I know that's something that we're also going to incorporate in any of the future projects with the, I know, Boston Pride for the People, I believe, Athena, the Trans Resistance, and Black Pride.
And so that's Casey Dooley. Great. No, that was great. Casey Dooley, local LGBTQ activist. I really appreciate your time and your sharing today. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having us.
And Athena Vaughn, president and chair of Trans Resistance Massachusetts. Athena, thanks to you too. I really appreciate your time and your sharing.
Happy to be here.